Into the world of music we go with one of my favorite Elvis Presley songs. Who doesn't love Burning Love? On this day in 1977, Elvis Presley made his last ever live stage appearance when he appeared at Market Square Arena in Indianapolis. He died 2 months later, less than 2 months later. The last two songs he performed, Hurt and Bridge Over Troubled Water. Not Burning Love, but I like that one better. On this day in 1977, Elvis Presley made his last ever live stage appearance in Indianapolis. Scott Bertram in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday morning. Joined now on the phone lines by Fred Lucas. He's White House correspondent for the Daily Signal, co-host of the Right Side of History podcast. Also the author of Tainted by Suspicion, The Secret Deals and Electoral Chaos of Disputed Presidential Elections. And a great piece recently at the Daily Signal we'll discuss in just a moment. Fred, thank you so much for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So I want to direct people to dailysignal.com and your piece this week, recently. 19 arrests later, a Texas town is torn apart over voter fraud. This is such an interesting story. How did you come about this one, Fred?
Well, this initially happened in April, late April. The Texas Rangers had arrested a mayor in Texas, Mayor Richard Molina. Texas. He had won the 2017 mayor's race, and basically since he got into office, state officials, the state attorney general's office, had been sort of building a case from the outside of several voters who once arrested, basically ratted out people higher up and higher up, and eventually they got to the mayor and his wife. We decided at the Daily Signal that I would go to Edinburgh and just kind of check out the scene, see how people in the city have reacted to it. It's a not a huge town, about 80,000 people, and it's a university town. It's got the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley there.
Mm-hmm.
But it is an interesting tale, and it kind of gets you close to the situation because. This is one of the we hear a lot about voter fraud, and I think what was unique about this case is that it was a large, demonstrable voter fraud ring that was run by an actual candidate.
Right, and based on
I should say allegedly on all this, he's been arrested and indicted. He was indicted shortly after I left. I was there in late May. He was indicted. Basically a week after I left, I think.
So tell us a little bit about what this scheme entailed in this mayoral election. As you mentioned, this is not kind of like a here. This is systemic. This was appears to be planned very well.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It is. And the I should say something I did find out when I was there is that the Rio Grande Valley has a reputation for a lot of corruption, political corruption. Whether you're talking about county courthouses or mayor's races. But, yeah, the way this plot allegedly worked, there haven't been convictions. There have been guilty pleas, but the mayor has not pleaded guilty yet. So he's still going to be face trial, so I'll say allegedly. But people supporting the mayor and the mayor himself were leading a ring in which folks from outside the city limits, which so they were not eligible to vote in a city election, were told to sign up for various addresses within the city limits, register to vote. And in some cases, they were registered to vote at an apartment complex that the mayor owned.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty convenient.
So you can have multiple people in these various apartments that the mayor this apartment building that the mayor owns. Also, there was another house. It's a very small house right now. It's boarded up and says for sale by owner. And there's a picture of this house in the story, actually, but as well as the apartment building. But at least in 2017, some people might have been living in it, but it had multiple families kind of living in this one house. So So this was like an oddity in which people from well outside of Edinburgh were registered to vote in Edinburgh in the lead up to the election. What might be a shame in this whole thing is that, as it turned out, Richard Molina actually beat the incumbent mayor, Richard Garcia, by a pretty sizable amount in terms of the overall votes cast.
Mm-hmm.
So these questionable votes would not have changed the election, but I think you could argue that Richard Molina did not know that.
And sure.
Right. He didn't want to take any chances. I would add, and we do get into this in the story, that Molina pretty much ran a reform campaign. I mentioned that the Rio Grande Valley had sort of a reputation of corruption. He ran against the Garcia machine, which had been sort of who'd been the mayor for 14 years or so, and was there was under all kinds of suspicion for various federal contract issues and so forth.
Fred, we got about 90 seconds left. You were there. You reported based on, it's a little speculation, but based on what you found, certainly this scheme was found out. Charges have been filed. They're going to go to trial. Is this something that could be duplicated in other areas, or is there something, you mentioned this area was kind of had a reputation for corruption already. Might it be prevalent? Might it be elsewhere?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is something that could definitely take place. Some similar things have taken place. There was a mayor out of New Jersey that stepped down over voter fraud issues. I don't think it was exactly this, but yeah, this is something that if people aren't watching, this could happen, and particularly if you don't have any voter ID laws or anything like that.
I've really asked people to go check out the whole story. It is 19 arrests later, a Texas town is torn apart over voter fraud. Fred Lucas, the White House correspondent for the Daily Signal, writes it. Check out dailysignal.com. And you can also check out Fred's podcast, The Right Side of History. Fred, thanks so much for the reporting on this story and for joining us this morning here on The Steve Gruber Show.
Thanks for having me on.
That's Fred Lucas, again, dailysignal.com, to check out that story. This portion of The Steve Gruber Show brought to you by DTE Energy, providing safe, reliable natural gas to customers across Michigan. DTE Energy, know your own power. When we come back, give you details again on what's happening tonight with the Democratic presidential debate. I know you're not likely voting for any of them, but it's kind of fun to watch, point and laugh a little bit. We'll recap that and also tell you it's getting warm in Michigan. It's getting downright hot in Europe. What's the temperature in Paris this week? I'll tell you that too. Scott Bertram in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Bob Thomas, Chief Operating Officer for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. All across the state, businesses have joined the Michigan Chamber to be a part of the most influential business voice in Lansing. As a member, companies become part of a statewide network of small business, medium-sized companies, and industry leaders focused on improving pro-business legislation within state government. For the past 60 years, the Michigan Chamber has delivered powerful advocacy and business solutions on behalf of our 6,000 members, representing 1 million employees across the state. As a member-driven organization, we keep our members at the center of all that we do. Together, we can make a difference, and together, we ensure Michigan is the best place to create jobs and support free enterprise.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.